Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
William!
What?
We're here!
Ha-ha!
We're both wearing black t-shirts with very funky designs.
And we didn't even send each other a memo to say that.
No, no. Mine is from my pal, Matt, in England. He has a clothing company called Hard Times Clothing. They do not sponsor the show. They don't sponsor me in any way. He's just a pal. And he makes really fun clothes, usually around kind of fan art.
And stuff. Mine is from a lovely Glasgow company called 40. And they make fantastic clothing that I absolutely love. So go and get your 40 clothing. They also don't sponsor the show.
But they look beautiful around your midriff.
Yeah, and your boobs.
Yeah, around your boobies. How's everything going with you? Anything to report this week?
Tom. Just getting on with it, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
No, things are good. What have you been doing?
Well, our friend Nigel has been staying here. He and I jumped in with my trainer today, Stevie. And my favourite thing to work out is abs. What's your favourite thing to work out?
Shoulders.
Lovely. So we did a relatively normal, for me, ab-heavy workout.
Yeah.
And I think Nigel really felt the benefit of it because we're all going out for dinner tonight. And I said to Nigel, if we really pump it up at 10 in the morning, then at 6 tonight when we're enjoying some lovely dinner, we'll think, oh, I can feel the benefit of that.
I'm bulking up.
How's the bulk going?
Going good.
We're going to have to get you a set of scales.
Right then.
Let's do that.
Hey, remember when we said, what's a good thing to say to someone if you're pretending you've never seen Lord of the Rings before?
Oh, yeah.
And someone sits you down and says, watch this movie.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I've never seen it. What would annoy that person?
Yeah.
Well, a few people have sent in with some things.
Oh, great.
Dave from Barnegat, which is in New Jersey, says, always get Gandalf's name wrong. You either say Dumbledore or Ganondorf.
Oh, that's good.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah,
because people don't like getting the names wrong.
Well, you shouldn't be getting Gandalf wrong, because would you describe him as the iconic wizard in fantasy fiction? I would
Hold
think
on.
So, right?
Was the one in Arthur's time?
Merlin, good shout.
Maybe Merlin.
Merlin is a good shout.
Thanks.
But I think he's second. Mike from Chicago said, you could every so often say, wait, which one is the mother of dragons? Which I like, which is a Game of Thrones reference. Or you could say, is Gollum one of those White Walker guys? Again, confusing it for Game of Thrones. Lovely stuff.
Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were trying to work out Fahrenheit and Celsius and centigrade and all that.
Yeah.
Well, Adrian, location unknown, says, a level chemistry teacher taught me this.
Well, I'll stop you for a second. A level chemistry taught me this, not a level chemistry. You
I was
dimmick.
Wondering what that was. I was like, I wonder what a level chemistry is.
A level is just you've left school and now you're studying in higher education. You're taking levels.
I would say Adrian, location unknown, is probably in the UK then.
I would agree with that.
Thank you. Celsius is the measure of temperature.
Aha.
Centigrade is the type of measurement it is.
Okay.
But people use the two interchangeably because Celsius is the only centigrade scale we use day to day.
I understand. So Celsius is the centigrade scale that has become common practice. So nowadays we use both those words interchangeably.
Got it.
Nice. We were also sent a tongue twister from Jesse K. in Nebraska. Any ideas where Nebraska might be? That took you four goes. You've only got two hands. Go on.
If this...
I still think it's the wrong way around.
Hold on.
Florida's on the West Coast.
Is that
there
one?
You go.
Oh, Christ. Right. If that was a map of the United States of America,
yeah.
Florida,
yeah.
New York,
yeah.
California,
yeah.
Where would you say is Nebraska? That's a hard one, actually.
I think, I'm sure I'm totally way off here, but I got the feeling that Nebraska was kind of central north.
Nebraska.
So I'm going to say center of your hand, up a little bit to your left. So
there?
I think down a little bit. That's more like Maine, isn't it? I think you go down, 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 right. Stop. I'm going to say there's
a middle and just a little bit. Hold on, I'll see if it's on this map that we've got in the wall here.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Indiana.
Jesse K will know since Jesse K's from Omaha, Nebraska.
Nah, we'll need to look at that one, Tom, because I've got absolutely no idea where Nebraska is.
Okay.
Well, is that the square one? There's one that's like a square.
Is it a square state?
Maybe Shanti knows. Ask her.
Maybe.
I can't
Shanti,
see.
Do you know where Nebraska is? She's giving us a shake of the head there. She has no idea.
No, that's terrible, that. You should get that in school in America.
Let us know. Well, Jesse K gave us a tongue twister, which I feel like Jesse K might have written himself. Maybe, who knows? And the tongue twister is, how many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's?
I'm going to time you if you do that three times, Tom.
I'll do the same.
You ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's? How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's? How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's?
That was actually very good. 8.78 seconds.
Keep that there. Don't delete it.
I won't.
I'm going to give you a 3, 2, 1, but I'm also going to give you a go like you did. Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe...
No. It's all right. You get three goes.
It's quite hard because I'm Scottish and R's are quite hard. And then
purple
R's,
burglar alarm.
R's after L's are even harder.
Take your time, William.
What? Right.
Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's? How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's? How many Lowe's could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob Lowe's?
Lovely. You slightly changed your accent as well.
To help me out.
It's a 12.13.
I thought it was slow. It felt slow.
It was
slow.
A little slow.
It felt slow.
But for a Scotsman, I'm extremely impressed with all the things
that was
that
quite
did.
Hard for me, that one, Tom.
Hey, we have one more thing that was written in from Owen in Brighton. Do you want to... read this one out.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding the word possesses.
Oh, you said this, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Recently, you claimed that the word possesses more S's than any other word possesses. However, I believe that the word dispossesses the word possesses. Claim to possess more S's than any other word possesses.
I think that's totally true. Dispossesses has more S's than possesses.
How did we not know that?
I don't know. But that particular phrase came from William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist, because I think he'd spent a lot of time in his life around the word possesses, because of course The Exorcist is about possession. And someone must have come over to him and said, are you aware that possesses more S's than any other word possesses? But of course dispossesses, because possesses one more.
So dispossesses the word possesses.
Yeah, that's what Owen in Brighton was saying. Thanks, Owen from Brighton. William.
What?
You and I both seem to enjoy really pumping up at the gym.
I hear you, Dom.
Well, let me tell you, one of my favourite things to do, both before and after the gym, is have a lovely bowl of Magic Spoon cereal. Now, you might be thinking, cereal? That's not great for the gym.
That's...
Hey,
what?
Magic Spoon's full of proteins. There's no sugar. It's a gym-conscious food item, and I absolutely love it. And I tell you what, there's a flavour for everyone, from the richest chocolate to... sweetest honey nut.
And it's delicious, Dom. Ice cold milk all over it. Fantastic.
Oh,
there's a few facts that I have to give you, Dom.
Go on.
There is 0 grams of sugar.
What?
13 to 14 grams of protein and only 4 to 5 net grams of carbs in every serving.
Amazing.
It's low carb, Dom. Keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free and only 140 calories a serving. It's fantastic. Great flavours, as you know. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, cookies, cream, cinnamon. All of it is delicious.
It's delicious, yeah. Fill your boots. Go to magicspoon.com/onion to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And be sure to use the promo code ONION at the checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/onion and use the code ONION to save $5 off.
We've got voicemails, Dom.
Let's do them.
Let's do a couple of voicemails.
Fire them into before our craniums.
Hi, Billy and Dom. I've got a riddle for you. Here's how it goes. This is a five-letter word. With all five letters, people can eat it. However, if you remove the first letter, then I become a form of energy. If you remove another letter, then I am required to live. If you mix up the final three letters, then I am a drink. What word am I? Love the show and all the Lord of the Rings movies. Have a great day, guys.
Right. So,
five letters.
Each letter is something you can eat. So I'm going to say P.
Right.
T.
But you take away one.
Yeah.
It becomes what? An energy?
An energy. But don't we need to do it in order or not to guess it? Or not necessarily?
I don't think so.
So it's a five-letter word.
Right.
So let's... I'm going to think of letters that you can eat. So P, I think it's got to be there. Wait,
can you eat a B?
You could eat a B, but would you eat a B?
No.
C, D, E.
Eat an E.
F, G, H, I, J, K. No.
Special K.
Oh, it could be special K. K. L. M. N. O. P.
I wouldn't eat P.
No, I think like a green marifat.
Oh, right. I thought you meant like urine.
Yeah, no, no. Q. R. S. T. You can eat.
You can drink.
Drink.
It. Yeah.
U. V. W. X. Y. Z. There's only two real things that you could eat there.
Could I get that again? Could
second?
You play it again?
Have you written down all the clues, Shanti? Or...
Right. Give us that again, Shanti. Come on.
Hi, Billy and Dom. Right. I've got a riddle for you. Here's how it goes. This is a five-letter word. With all five letters, people can eat it. However, if you remove the first letter, then I become a form of energy. If you remove another letter, then I am required to live. If you mix up the final three letters, then I am a drink. What word am I?
It's only when it's the first.
When it's five, you can eat it. When it's four, it's energy.
Energy.
When it's three, you need it to
live.
Live.
So is it die? No, air. Air. You need air to live.
Uh-huh.
That's a three-letter word.
A bear.
You need
you
a bear.
You can eat a bear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, type of energy. A what is four letters? What?
Well, that kind of takes away from air, doesn't it?
It does. A type of energy. Wind. That's four letters.
Solar. That's five.
And then if you is it you mix up the last three... What is it, Shanti, if you mix up the last three? Tea.
Drink it. Tea, right. So let's say it was tea, right? But that's it mixed up.
So that's...
So it's eight.
So if it's tea, and then what's the four? A type of power. Type of energy. Heat.
Heat.
Heat. We're on to it. And then...
Sheet.
What was the first one?
Heat. You can eat it. Cheat.
Feet. Beat. No, that's not spelled
beat.
Right.
But heat.
Wheat.
Wheat!
Wait, have I done it?
Wheat!
Done it! Ah! Ah! Nice, we've got there. Fantastic.
Wheat. Wheat. Heat.
Heat. Eat.
And Shanti was actually helping us. John would never help us.
Well,
John,
Shanti just gave us a thumbs up, but we had to get there.
But she was like screaming and going, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we've done it. Brilliant. Thanks, Shanti.
Brilliant.
Firing another voicemail into our craniums, would you?
Yeah, let's get another voicemail and then I think we have to get on to it.
Hi, Billy and Dom. My name is Haley and I am a current student of biology. And as a horror movie lover and an insect lover, I am fascinated by parasitoid insects. So my question for you is, what is your favorite scary insect, or in other words, what insect freaks you out or scares you the most? For me, I'll give an example. It would be a parasitoid wasp. And if you have ever seen a caterpillar infected with parasitoids, it's pretty interesting. Thank you. Bye.
Have you seen that, William?
Is that when they lay their eggs and then they hatch and then it just destroys the... I'm glad nothing does that to us.
To us, it would be terrifying. Yeah, so the parasitoid wasp paralyzes the caterpillar for half an hour or so, lays, let's say for the sake of argument, 10 eggs in there, but it could be 20 or 30. And then the caterpillar wakes up and thinks, fine, I'm all right. And then at some point, they all just explode out of the caterpillar. That's a rough one. I think kind of leeches, they're not technically an insect, it's an invertebrate, but leeches have always kind of given me the heebs. And I did get leeches on me when I was in Vietnam going through a lake. And this is interesting. I woke up in the middle of the night and felt something on my back.
Yeah. Who was it?
It was a leech, just a slimy like kind of leech. And I managed to grab it and throw it to the other side of the bedroom. No electricity on in this place. So I just thought, I'll throw it as far away as I can and deal with that in the morning. And then in the middle of the night, I heard a commotion and I grabbed my torch and I looked in my room. And there's a big tokay gecko, these huge geckos that you get in Vietnam, in that part of the world, that can give you a good bite if you're a human, was attacking this leech. And clearly the leech was fighting back. And there was blood, my blood, I think, and the leech's, all sprayed up the side of the wall. And I thought at that point that I had peed the bed, but I hadn't, because the leech's bite contains an anticoagulant and my bed had blood all over it because I had consistently bled throughout the night. I know.
It's a horror story.
I know. And that's, well, she's talking about horror films. And that's always given me a little bit of a thing with leeches. Not strictly an insect, but...
No.
What about you?
Tell me again what makes an insect an insect.
An insect is defined by having six legs and having a head, a middle part, which is called a thorax, and an abdomen.
Right.
So a butterfly is an insect, but their larva, the caterpillar, isn't an insect because it doesn't have a head, thorax, and abdomen. It's just one long piece.
Right. Yeah, I think, well, parasites are the worst. Things that sort of live in you and around you. Mm. You know that book that you got me, The Body, that
Part
I'm still
body,
reading?
Yeah. Bryson, yeah.
Well, there's a part in that where it talks about actually, you know, whatever weight you are, like more than half of that isn't actually you. It's just things living in you and on you.
Incredible.
Isn't that mental?
Amazing. Tapeworm's a little scary. Again, not an insect, but go on.
Yeah. So anything that kind of lays something in you. You know, they always say things will go in your ear and lay things in. Does that happen? Does that actually happen?
Yeah, things will lay some of you. In Africa, my producing partner, Dave Brady, who you met because you came to do an amazing version of Wild Things in New Zealand, he got a bot fly in his buttock. And when he went back to see his doctor in Canada, the guy said, take a piece of bacon and put a tiny piece of bacon underneath a plaster, a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
And let the bot fly come out. And then once it rears its head up, have your wife grab it with tweezers and pull it out. And he said it was massive, like as big as a gummy bear when he pulled it out in his bottom.
Imagine gummy bears did that, burrowed their way into your butt. You wouldn't buy them, would you?
There's a great quote from David Attenborough. And, you know, however way you feel about theology and religion and all that kind of stuff, you're in your own kind of personal freedoms and everything. But someone had said to Attenborough, how come, as someone who spent your entire life examining nature, do you not see God in these things? Do you not see God in the patterns of a giraffe's skin? Or do you not see God in the teeth of a tiger and all that kind of stuff? And Attenborough's rebuttal to that said, that's fair enough. Maybe you can see God in those things. But if that's the case, then you also need to see God in the burrowing parasite that goes into a human's eye and the maggot will eat out the eye on its way out to becoming a fly. So if you see God in this, you have to see God in it. And maybe he does. Maybe he sees God in both. Also, to touch very briefly on parasites for a second, the mosquito being, you know, one of the most interesting parasites for human history because it's probably the most influential animal in human history. Killed more humans than all the wars combined. That mosquito has a parasite that lives in its body, which is the parasite that gives us these very dangerous diseases that kill us. The female mosquito just sucks our blood to make eggs for its young, and that's it.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Unfortunately, when it drinks out of stagnant water, a parasite goes up its mouth parts, lives in its body, and uses the mosquito as a parasite, a carrier, to send malaria into other people's bodies. So, of course, mosquitoes get a bad rap, but the mosquito has no idea that it is holding on to malaria and probably doesn't want to if you were to be in a place to be able to ask that mosquito. It has a parasite itself.
And that parasite has malaria.
That parasite is malaria.
It is malaria.
Mm. Lives in stagnant water and uses...
Can a mosquito get malaria?
No, I don't think it can. It just holds on to it for bigger animals. So the mosquito is a involuntary carrier of malaria in the same way that rats were, because rats carried fleas that had the plague. It wasn't the rats that had the plague. It was the fleas that carried them.
And that's some of the fantastic knowledge you'll get here on The Friendship Onion.
Wait, you didn't say your favourite parasitic insect?
I don't know the names of any of them.
Oh, but there's nothing in particular that stands out that makes you go, ugh.
No, just anything that's sort of... Remember when we were in... Thailand.
Of course I do.
And we met a guy and he had a thing living in his leg.
Oh, yeah.
He'd been there for months and he says it moves around and he says before it moves, he feels where it's going to go and then it makes a way and he knows where it's going to go. How does he... Like something... I don't want something living in me.
No.
I'd rather not.
But like you said, in terms of the book that you're reading when you get onto the digestive system, you and I probably have a whole bunch of parasites living in our digestive system peacefully.
If I don't know they're there, I'm all right. But yeah. I don't want it kind of moving around my leg and stuff.
Of course you don't, William. Of course you don't.
Shall we get our guests on?
Let's bring on our fantastic guests this week, Sean and CJ, who have a wonderful podcast, which is in week 3. So it's just beginning. You can check it out. It's called The Black Hat Diaries. Sean, unfortunately, is in Chicago, so he's going to be remote. But CJ's here. Let's bring him on.
Let's bring him on.
William, we're here. We're joined by Sean and CJ. Can I please read Sean's blurb and you read CJ's blurb?
That sounds fantastic. Let's do that, Tom.
Right, this is all about Sean Blair Flannery.
Who's not in the studio with us. He's on the TV just
in front
of us.
Chicago, which I believe is the east coast of the United States.
The winning city.
There we go. The easiest way to describe Sean Flannery is, colon, he attended the wrong wedding twice. Interesting. We're going to get into that in a second.
Okay.
That mostly sums it up. Sean hosts and created the Blackout Diaries. He appeared on Comedy Central, NPR, Sirius Radio, and his debut book, Places I Can't Return To, interesting title, was just released. Sean was also named Best Drunk by the Chicago Reader. He and his wife are having different reactions to that award. Fantastic.
Best Drunk, that's fantastic.
Love
right,
to
you,
Sean.
Got to hear about CJ.
Please.
Right, CJ Sullivan resides in Los Angeles and previously called Chicago his home for many years. CJ has been on Comedy Central and performs in numerous comedy clubs across the country. His writing credentials include projects for A&E Network, Comedy Central, Robert Smigel, and XM Sirius Radios. Sullivan, also a World Series of Poker winner, professional poker player, garnered the number one comedy album spot on iTunes for his newly released stand-up comedy album called What Am I Complaining About? Everybody should go out and get that right now.
Mm.
He was chosen as one of the top 12 rising stars to look out for. Top 12? That's like you never made the top 10, so yeah. They just stuck another couple on it.
Mm.
By Chicago Magazine, and he won the Comics Choice Award for Best Comic in Chicago during the pandemic lockdown. CJ performed on his balcony in nightly showbiz for all the applause intended for frontline workers.
Yes. Wonderful stuff. Hey, a significantly more substantial introduction to CJ than to Sean.
Well, that's because CJ took the time to come into the studio to talk to us and Sean couldn't be arsed and stayed in Chicago.
No, that seems to be the case. Well, gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. Also, can I say just right off the top, I love when you guys say the correct or incorrect states of America. I was listening to last week's episode and the enthusiasm.
Yeah, no, we're very enthused.
Of the state of the different states, like Chicago, the Windy Apple, or whatever you call it. You know what I mean?
We never quite get it right because there's 50. And then within those 50, there's all the different cities. Mm-hmm. It's quite a lot to learn.
Absolutely.
When you didn't get it at school, you know, I learned about European history. So I'm learning every day.
I'm not criticizing. I'm saying I love the, well, it's something that we do as well. If, even if you don't know, say it with enthusiasm together. Oh, so yeah. Like it matters, like it is correct. And it comes across beautifully.
Exactly.
I'm like, New York is in Massachusetts. Why not?
Well, it's lovely to have you both on. Now, do you guys, when you guys do your podcast, you're doing it together, right?
Yes.
Do you do it in the same room or not always?
We're usually not in the same city, but kind of situation like
this. Yeah, I'm usually in Chicago. He's usually, CJ travels more than I do. So, but we usually, once a week, we find a time. It's almost like a couple in therapy. We find a time and we record together.
And your podcast is called The Blackout Diaries, which deals with moments in which people become blackout drunk. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it's kind of just more of a night, you know, where it got away from you, kind of the story. And it's not like a negative thing.
And we have stand-up comics, plus we have like everyday people on the show. So like in Chicago, it's been a live show in Chicago for over 10 years. And we'll have like cops and teachers and nurses tell drinking stories.
Right. And the show says when you black out, the science behind it actually is that your brain just decides to stop recording the events of what's going on. You're aware. You know, but the brain's like, you're not going to have to remember this. But that's where we come in, film the rest of the footage, really, I guess, of that blackout part, and dictate the story of what happens between 2 and 4.
So the Blackout Diaries was started by Sean, but CJ, you've had enough blackouts that you thought you'd be someone who could co-host.
I just stumbled upon it in a blackout, and he just signed me up, apparently, and that's, you know, I'm here in the studio.
Brilliant.
And is that a weekly podcast?
Yes, it is, every Tuesday.
Is it one of these ones that people can get wherever they get podcasts?
Yeah, wherever you get podcasts. Starburns Audio is putting it out there, but it's, you know, where all pods are told, you know, Apple and Google.
Right.
Podfather, whatever they're called, you know. But it's every Tuesday, third episode just came out today.
And as you say, it's just when nights get away and they become something strange because you've drunk too much.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, there's a couple of slogans we're going with. It's like a reverse AA meeting. Mm-hmm. Or if it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like it's the best story, like, you know, a cocktail party, I guess. It's
good stories.
Right, great stories. Usually it's audiovisual. And as Sean said, what stands it apart is like there's also, besides comics, it's also regular people that contribute to society, you know, like normal jobs and good people. But they have the best stories, you know.
Yeah.
Your plumbers,
lots
plumbers
of people,
whatnot.
Unfortunately, have moments where they've had one or two drinks too many and find themselves a little kind of forgetful in the morning of certain stints of time.
Right.
Yeah. Like you said, I very often will remember the start and possibly the end. And then there's bits in between that you think, well, how did I get from that bar to my house?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you come in, Billy.
Yeah, I tell you. I'll let you know. Hey, Sean, so how come, what's this about you went to the wrong wedding twice?
Yeah.
Was it your wedding?
It was not my wedding, thankfully.
Good. That's good.
I've never been a details man. And the thing you got to keep in mind, I don't know if this is true where you guys grew up, but in America, wedding invitations have highly stilted, almost archaic language.
Okay.
You know, it'll be like, you know, the parent, and they use like everyone's legal names, and I don't even know my buddy's legal names. So, like, I kind of just find them confusing, and I just sort of like bottom line it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I just assume they're always in Cleveland, because that's where I'm from.
Right.
So I once flew back to Cleveland, and right before the wedding, I found out it was actually in Kentucky and that I had not read the invitation properly.
So you didn't go to that one.
But you're dressed for a wedding and you're still going to a wedding.
So you had the actual address, but you just missed out the Kentucky part. So you saw like 114 Springfield Road or something.
I found out was like, what church is this? I've never heard of this church. I called somebody who was in the wedding and they're like, well, it's right downtown. And I'm like, where? And they're by the river. I'm like, there's no river downtown Akron. And then that's when I found out it was in Lexington, Kentucky, and I was in the wrong state.
What did you do? Did you just go out for a little night yourself?
I did. I had a date with me. I remember the person I was talking to laughing at the top of her lungs when she found out I had a date with me that I was now going to have to explain, like, we're in the wrong state.
Oh, no.
But yeah, we just went out. We had a great time. Honestly, you know, to be honest with you, the only disadvantage to flying to the wrong state for a wedding is that every wedding you go to for the rest of your life, when you show up, like your cousins and your friends all make a, like, hey, you're in the right state. Like yeah, they all make yeah, a big yeah, production yeah. about the fact that you actually made it to the right state.
Right.
Yeah, you gave him material. What about the time though when you were at a wedding and you gave the gift to the couple, like they put it in a gift box at a
well,
couple?
Well, so that one, I was in the right state for that one, but the wrong wedding.
Okay.
So it was one of those venues where they have multiple weddings. It's like a big hotel. They have yeah. multiple weddings going on at the same time. And I only knew the wedding party. So I walk in and the wedding party's still doing photographs. I'm like, oh, okay, they're not back yet. And I put my gift in the gift box. And the wedding party comes in like a half hour later. I'm at the bar and I see like, oh my God, I'm at the wrong wedding again. Like I don't recognize any of these people. And
he wonders why they introduce
gift,
him with, hey, you made the right wedding this time. Well, it's a constant thing with you.
Brilliant. So I had to get the wedding planner to get my gift out because, you know, I was like, well, I can't go to the real wedding without my gift.
That's brilliant. You know, Dom once, we were in LA before I lived here, and he had friends who were having a fancy dress party. And he said, but, you know, you want to come along to this? And I said, yeah, yeah. What will we go as? He said, well, let's go as a sort of couple, you know, a famous mm-hmm. something. Yeah. And we came up with Batman and Robin. Goes Batman. He said, what do you want to be? I said, well, I want to be Batman.
All right, of course.
That's so it. I got the Batman, he's got the Robin. We went to a bar first and, oh, everybody's laughing and joking. We're Batman and Robin. We went to the party. It was fancy dress, but it was, what do they call it?
It was classical prom attire.
Prom. It was a prom attire, fancy dress. So everybody's all dressed mm-hmm. as prom, and we're Batman and Robin.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a good night.
Yeah, you should have won a Spider-Man. He was high school level. Right.
I knew it was classic prom attire.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. But I kept that from Billy because I knew that if I said to Billy, "It's classic prom attire," but I want to go as Batman and Robin, Billy would say, "No, well, let's not do that." But it was very funny. We went to the Standard Hotel beforehand.
Mm. We did.
R.I.P.
Yeah, it was a great night. Yeah.
We got invited at the Standard Hotel. Someone said they were making a pornography movie.
That's right.
Really?
And they asked us if we wanted to be involved yeah. without knowing like,
and that's
who we
just
were.
A, that's just a check-in because yeah. they have the woman behind the desk there, you know, and yeah. the, I mean, that, behind a wall, behind the glass or whatever.
That was Batman. Weird.
You could have been Batman. Batman and Dobbin.
So you guys said yes. Yeah. I mean,
we just kept the mask on. That's all it
was. You had a free breakfast with it.
Well, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot to unpack. Sean, you've also got a book, Places I Can't Return To. Is this associated with being inebriated?
Some of it is. Some of them are just places that are gone, you know, like that don't exist anymore. So it's just a collection of funny stories. Some are drinking stories. Some are like old family stories. You know, some are jobs that I got fired from, had nothing to do with drinking, you know. So just different places that have asked me not to return for one reason or another.
The answer is yes. Mm. I've read the book and I've known it for years. They're all somehow related to drinking. Jobs you got fired from, yes.
Because you were drinking.
From drinking. Yeah. From doing, you know, or the job interview from a days beforehand of an absolute bender.
What's you guys' tipple normally?
Well,
or are you not fussy?
Sean likes to bring
not fussy.
Sean brings his own customs to the bars. He likes to bring a briefcase, as he says, which is his own to not pay for a tab. You know, so he'll bring his own.
Does he?
Yeah. It's like a
not orthodox.
Yeah, it was a little kind of a wet bar because he has a certain drinking budget his wife gave him, and then so he, to keep under it. He has a briefcase and he'll like have an assortment of different drinks that he knows each bar serves. And then he'll, in a suit, like at midnight, acting like he's doing business with Japan, like doing a business call, like it was briefcase. And he opens up and he's got like a full wet bar in there.
You can save a lot of money that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So then in that case, you'll order like a club soda or a tonic water, but then you'll bring your own gin. Is that the idea?
Sort of. What I'll usually do is when I'm doing that is I'll order a gin and tonic. And then I'll just kind of refill it myself throughout the night. Mm-hmm. So I usually, you know, it's a little suspicious if you're just all of a sudden acting completely rowdy and you haven't ordered a single drink yeah. from the bar. Yeah. So
yeah.
I usually
right.
order
no, yeah, I
a couple
throw
drinks
under
from
the bus
the bar.
Like that, but yeah.
So if you're
right. not picky is what we're trying to say.
If you own a bar in Chicago and you see Sean coming in, please know that in his bag he'll have his own bottle of gin.
Yeah.
So I would say search that bag if you would. Yeah. Just going back
but,
to your
wait, we didn't get CJ's tip.
All right, that's right.
Let's just do that.
No, no, no. I think that covers it all, actually.
Well, so you're not fussy. You'll anything.
Right. Yeah. Okay. For sure.
I was just going to say, I just remembered the story there, talking about your wedding story there, Sean, that my wife's dad, I don't know if it's the same over here, but if you live in a city like Chicago or Los Angeles, but where we are in Glasgow, there's a obituary page where if you die, then your family puts a little thing in saying, you know, Don Monaghan is dead.
Mm.
And he died peacefully.
Well, let's hope so.
Well, let's hope so, Dom. And the funeral's going to be at this place at that time, you know. And as you get older in Scotland, you read this page. Because, you know, your friends are, some of them are
catch
leaving,
up.
You know what I mean?
Right, catch up on your old buddies.
So he's reading it and, Elizabeth Gordon's died. Oh, and he's saying to his wife and said, oh, the funeral's on Thursday. I'll go along. So he gets his suit on and he goes off to the funeral and he's saying hello to everybody and that, and they have the funeral and they go back afterwards. Oh, please come back. We're going to have steak pie and a drink. And he has a steak pie and a drink and all that. And says goodbye to Elizabeth Gordon. And then a couple of weeks later, he's in the local store, like, you know, the local Vaughan's kind of supermarket. And there's Elizabeth Gordon walking up this. And he says, Elizabeth. And she said, yeah. He says, how was that? I was at your funeral. And it was another Elizabeth Gordon.
God, he should have checked.
Come on.
He went to a funeral.
Oh, so he went to it anyway.
There's he went to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Said hello. Had spent the whole day with him.
Steak pie.
Went back to the house, had steak pie to someone he'd never ever met.
Right. But funerals.
Maybe that's why the Catholics started doing open caskets, is just to avoid this confusion.
He can check.
And funerals are some of the best times there are to have, though, when it comes to
intercourse. Well, it's good, isn't it?
Some of the best drinking there is.
If you got a steak pie as well.
Yeah.
It's quite nice.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, do you guys also do stand-up? There's a bit of
CJ does. He's all over the country.
Yeah, we both do stand-up.
That's right, yeah.
How does that go?
It goes. I go mall to mall across this country and do the jokes.
How much do you do?
I know. It's crazy. Well, it depends, obviously, whatever the work is doing
CJ.
It. Well, I was in a mall in Ontario, California last weekend, which is about an hour outside the city.
You did it
here.
In a shopping mall.
Yeah, you know, I'm moved up to the Great Mall of America next weekend in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get lost in that mall. And then,
what time's the show?
So, well, the food court closes at 7, and then the show at 7:30 right afterwards.
So 7:30 till 9 type thing?
Yeah, of course. It's okay. Like,
is it really, are you being honest?
Well, the club's in the mall. It's not in the mall. Like, it's not like I'm in the food court.
So there's a club in the mall.
Oh, yeah. We're attached to the mall. That's all America is.
But this
is
mall,
now.
You got to understand, this mall is like bigger than an airport. Mm. It's not like your normal vision of. CJ, explain
there's
this.
There's an
mall.
Airport inside this mall. That's how big this mall is.
Wow.
It's very much of America. Yeah, no, there is. There's like a roller coaster in it and like all kinds of shooting.
And then they've got a comedy club.
And then, of course, comedy club. I think there might be two clubs in it, actually. It's so big.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
and then, see, when you go out to do these stand ups, do you, like, are you gone for like a month? Or do you just in and out?
Yeah, usually I'll go to the weekend and come back or whatever. But sometimes if it's like towns are close to each other, I'll go out there for a couple of weeks, couple of months or whatever. I'm not like on a tour bus or anything like that. Like, but you go out there and you see this beautiful country and all the real people where COVID didn't hit. You know?
What's been the most effective way thus far for you to deal with hecklers?
Deal with hecklers?
What's the most effective way? You're like, wow, that is the best way to do it.
Well, it's not hard to deal with hecklers. They're usually just
drunk.
Yeah, they're very drunk and they don't have a microphone. What I do is you don't tell them you're from Los Angeles. That's for sure. I would rather they you know.
Yeah.
They just can't handle it. They can't handle it. They don't like the words. They don't like hearing about it. You know.
Right.
So
right.
I just go.
Or is it kind of like how the other half lives?
Yeah. It's just I don't know. It's just what they're told about LA. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like it just enrages them. It
makes them angry.
Yeah, it really does.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet? You and Sean
in Chicago. We came up doing comedy together in Chicago. And
oh,
we,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. For years ago. Tons of
you don't do as much of that now, Sean.
I do, but I'm mostly, you know, I have three kids, and I have two weekly shows here in Chicago, so I don't travel as much as CJ.
He was part of the other people I was saying that contribute to society. You know, he has a family, jobs, and things like that. But yeah, he runs the Blackout Diaries live show at the Lincoln Lodge on Friday.
Yeah, so we're Friday like the Blackout Diaries is a live show every single Friday here in Chicago, and then I also have a weekly show on Wednesdays. So I don't travel as much as CJ, but I'm usually performing, you know, most nights.
Right.
But it seems like a different venue each night because he's different, because he's drunk. You know, so every time you show up, it's a different audience in town.
Blacked out very often.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the Blackout Diaries on a Friday night, are you bringing people up from the audience after slightly vetting them to have them tell their story of blackout adventures?
You know, when we first started, we would let people just get up and tell a story. And that lasts about three people before we're like, okay, we can never do this again.
Right.
You know, like I think one of the last people we let do that, I honestly was like, I feel like I have to call the police after what this man just said. So we invite people to tell stories, but they have to pitch it to us in advance.
Sure.
And we have to like make sure it's like appropriate to say in front of a room full of people.
Right. And it's one of those, one of Sean's talents is that he'll be out there doing the legwork during during the off night show nights, and like, oh, I got a perfect guy for the Blackout Diaries. That's usually haunting words, like, oh fuck, who did you meet, you know? Yeah. And it was like, you know, some he's a mailman, but he used to work for the CIA, he claims. You know, one of those things.
They meet a lot of great liars in Chicago, and, they used to have these weird jobs.
Yeah, we're not against liars. They're usually very entertaining.
Sure. Yeah.
I love blatant liars.
I'm sure it makes for a great show. Mm-hmm. And you're also a professional poker player.
Well, I got to update that bio a little bit. But
so not anymore.
I used to, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I haven't. I still play a little bit, but not as certainly. You can't dedicate your... You can't dedicate half your time to poker or half your time to comedy or half your time to blacking out, really. You got to focus on
that's going
to
be a thing.
Yeah, you got to, right, exactly. That's why I'm blacked out. Yeah. Or math class. You can't, or the other half of.
Right.
Where I would add that up. But yes, no, I did win a circuit event. I used to be pretty much into it. Now it's, then I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to hang around these people the rest of my life. You know, like these card players. You meet a lot of great characters, but also like, I don't know if this is the way to go. To go about, so now I'm on the road doing blackout shows.
Are there kind of, can you make generalized negative connotations towards professional poker players?
Sure, I can make negative connotations towards anyone if you give me a chance.
What's the deal with the professional poker circuit that's not great?
Well, you know, it's just like, it's like a... Degenerate is it's a fun word to say, of course.
Yeah.
It is a fun CD characters, but like it's like I don't know. It's kind of like how rats, they don't really attack each other, but they will if they have to survive. Mm-hmm. Kind of a world. Like I don't know. It's a lot of Monster Energy drinks and hoodies.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Sunglasses indoors and right kind now, of, you know, just those situations and like sweats, the hygiene, a lot of up and hours and you know, it's just a lot of felt and stale cigarettes.
Do you ever play with Jennifer Tilly?
No, I have not.
She can play.
She's great. She's good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love Jennifer Tilly.
She's the best. Yeah.
She was on Craig Ferguson one night and I got a chance to say hello to her and possibly the sweetest voice of all time.
I know, her voice is incredible, right?
Yeah. And Liv Tyler's voice.
And very, very good at poker.
Really?
Yes.
Snake Eyes.
Yep, she's really good. And she was actually in that great gambling movie, Let It Ride, with...
I can't keep up.
Dreyfus.
Texas Hold'em was the game that you were playing, right?
Back then, yeah.
That's like the flop and the river.
Right. And then everyone got good at it. And Jennifer Tilly's whooping everyone's ass. You know, like it's time to get out of this. It's time to get out of this game.
Tobey Maguire, I suppose.
Yeah, they used to run a game.
Ben Affleck.
Him and Leo.
Did you see Molly's Game?
Of course, yeah.
Nice movie, right?
It was. Very good movie. Very well written, yeah. And
some interesting characters in there, some based on real life, right?
Absolutely, yeah. She took over that game, apparently. That was like the thing. I think that was Tobey Maguire and Leo's game, and then she like took it over or something like that. Yeah. That would have been nice. Because actors are usually the worst poker players because they're so animated with their expressions on their face. So when they try to act like they're bluffing, they go, they really like, you know, methodology. And like, and that's not how you lie in real life. Yeah, they know how to lie in acting life, you know, which is very obvious.
Sean, what made you win best drunk in the great city of Chicago. What did you do? Did you fall in front of a moving bus or something?
So, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, and it's interesting the way different people have interpreted that. So that was by the Chicago Reader, and they wanted to do this novelty thing then. They thought the end-of-year awards were becoming boring, and rather than say somebody's the best comic or even the best car wash in Chicago, they came up with these like little esoteric awards to say it in so many words. So rather than calling me the best comic in Chicago, they call me the best drunk. Like when that first happened, that was several years ago. Like I would be almost, it's almost like when you're like a heavyweight champion and like I've heard that people want to fight them like when they go to bars.
Yeah.
Like I was confronted over that. People would be like, oh, you know, you think you're the best drunk in Chicago? Well, I've ruined three marriages. You know, I've totaled five cars. I'm a much, you know, and well, then you're like, well, I don't know that that does mean you're a better drunk.
Yeah, it's a different interpretation of the word best.
Yeah, right. It's worse, isn't
sounds,
it?
Sounds like a horrible drunk, actually.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
You should be in prison.
Yeah. I think you'd be a happy-go-lucky drunk.
He really is a great positive drunk.
Oh, yeah, I am. For sure. I am.
What do you guys think about drunk history? Do you guys have you guys
fantastic
seen the
show? Of course.
It?
Yeah, yeah. No, oh,
I think it's great.
No, a lot of people are doing that. It's a great show. Too.
What's the name of the guy who kind of started it? The guy who stars in it quite a bit?
Ben Franklin, I believe it was.
That guy's hilarious.
Good knowledge. Good knowledge. I'll see you. Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
What's your favorite joke?
Well, that's a tough one.
I don't care.
You're here for the tough questions.
Do you want to hear mine?
I do. Because I know that that's exactly why you asked that question.
Exactly. I only watched.
I just heard.
Only watched in Scotland. I just heard. Oh, go on, Sean. You do yours first.
Well, I was going to say, I just heard a great Irish joke, and I wish I could do an Irish accent. Oh, I can't. But this was told to me from a friend who was visiting from Ireland.
Please do the accent anyway.
Yeah,
though.
Do it.
Do the accent.
No, I can't.
Just
I'm
do
so
it.
Bad at accents.
Come on.
Yeah. But yeah, so the one guy is at the end of the pub, and he's like, where are you from? And he's like, I'm from County Cork. He's like, get out of here. I'm from County Cork. He's like, where in County Cork? He's like, oh, I'm from Tremont Street. Get out of here. I'm from Tremont Street. Like, what's your address? And he's like, oh, I'm 5-2 Tremont. He's like, get out of here. I'm 5-2 Tremont. He's like, which of the levels were you? Basement level. Get out of here. I'm basement level. And then the bartender turns to a visitor who just came in and goes, well, the McGinty twins are at it again.
Now, that was a great Irish accent. I don't know what you're talking about. That was amazing.
Absolutely nailed it.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Come on.
Right. Right.
This is tough. It's in a Scottish accent.
Scottish accent again. Right. I'll do this. I'll do the accent, Sean. Yeah, I'll do it.
All right. He's not afraid. He's got experience with it, but he's not afraid.
When I was younger, I had a trumpet tree in my garden, but a man from the council came and rooted to toot. Come on, Sean!
That is an accent-heavy joke.
It's very very localized.
I want to see Sean try that on Friday at his club. Yeah. You got to do the accent, Sean.
Yeah, that would play in the malls.
I will.
That would play in the malls, all right. He rooted to toot. Come on!
What about you, CJ? Have you got like a fallback
joke? I'm not following rooty toot toot. Get out of here.
It's a tough one to follow.
It's a hard one to follow.
Maybe if you would have held that to the end, I would have tossed out some jokes up, but no way.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Since we're all here with a background of the Blackout Diaries, should we eat, stroke, drink the world?
Yes.
Because
yes.
Then we can really do a deep dive into this, because I think this has been one of the more anticipated.
You have been really wanting to try this because people have told you it's so awful.
I haven't. We were gifted some bottles of this thing, which we'll bring in a second, I would say about 2 or 3 months ago. And when we recently went to a convention in Chicago, a bunch of people said to both Billy and I, you have to try this thing. It's absolutely disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then you guys have...
I know, that's the perfect tagline for it. You have to try it. It's awful.
It's awful.
Yeah. I'm you pretty sure you're talking about our corporate sponsor at the show.
That's exactly what they're talking about, and it's coming out.
How do you pronounce it?
Malort. Is
Let's all try Malort. And we'll try it in the style of CJ and Sean.
Yes. Root toot toot. Let's get it going.
Are you root toot toot?
So every week we try and ask our guests to bring something that they either have an affinity with or something they grew up with or something closely associated with themselves or their city. this feels perfect.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys, it's Chicago, isn't
it? Is Malort something that you guys do as a joke to drink now? Or will you?
To be honest with you, yeah. It's kind of a Chicago tradition. It's horrible. And and you always get outsiders to do it. Like, you got to try it. And then they never, just to see the pain in her face. It's kind of like an initiation going to Chicago. But
right.
It does taste, it kicks better, hits better. When it's like -5 degrees outside.
Ah, when it's cold. Oh, really? Yeah, put my specs on. Sure. Billy, you didn't remind me to put my specs on.
Put your specs on. Well, I read out this little bit here.
That's
Malort
on me, too.
Is a herbal liquor whose flavor has been described as everything from fermented grapefruit to burnt carpet.
Bloody hell.
Or even nail polish remover. People love it or they hate it. It's usually a hate it. Yeah. But in Chicago, they keep drinking it all the same. We even have a Malort hot sauce.
That's
right.
Nuts.
Come on, let's try it. Where is it?
Absolutely. Well, while it's coming in, hang on, Shanti's bringing it in. Oh. Just to try and explore this hornet's nest with our American guests, the word herbal you pronounce as herbal, right? At one point, was that
herbal?
When was the H dropped? When did you guys become
question.
Jamaican? Because there is an H.
I hear both, I feel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
Is it certain parts of the country?
Herbal is
will
probably
herbal.
More common, but I feel like you hear both.
Herbal.
CG, maybe you could tell us why Shanti has just handed us a boiled egg and a fork.
The food is a hard boiled egg.
Oh, my God.
Why?
As it's known as a boneless chicken dinner. We used to, one of the great, me and Sean, not only did we come up with comedy together, we used to do a internet radio show before it was even called podcast, called Visitor's Locker Room.
It was called what?
The Visitor's Locker Room. It's kind of a sports comedy thing.
It was a sports show.
It's not even to talk about. But we would go to a bar, this great dive bar in Chicago called Richard's.
Right.
When it's an amazing bar, and they would... kind of bar where you would you could still smoke inside. You still do it now. It's like not like legal. Actually, one time we saw a girl complain about the smoke and they kicked her out of the bar. It was one of those kind of
crazy things. Refused the right to serve anyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they would serve these boneless chicken dinners. That's how they would advertise it.
Really?
It was the only food they would have.
And what would that be? Just boiled eggs?
Just hard boiled eggs. Right? Okay. So that would be
just
our...
Just like this? Not pickled?
Absolutely
just,
not. Yep.
Just an egg?
A little salt, you know, and a little...
I can't even look over at you guys now.
Yeah, and...
Now, you guys... So
they
it was
were weirdly a, cheap. I think they were like 75 cents
75
in like
cents
2015.
Sure.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's an egg. It's a chicken egg.
Well, that's quite good. There's a bar next to where I live, and they give you free hot dogs.
Really?
Yeah. But nice. I don't know how long those guys have been in there. You know what I mean? It's like boiled hot dogs just sitting there.
One of my favorite traditions about Spain, where my brother and my parents live, is obviously the tapas thing. And I remember asking my dad... Oh, God, don't, Billy. Turning my stomach. I remember asking my mum and dad about that a while ago. And in the south of Spain, supposedly, the idea is you get your drink, let's say your little glass of beer or your glass of wine, and they'll put maybe some olives or a little bit of bread, something like that, on a saucer, and that saucer will stop something going in your drink or stop someone from coming along and feeling like maybe that drink has been finished. You put your little saucer on there. So the tapas thing in that part of Spain supposedly was created to stop maybe it flying insects getting in your drink, but also as a little placeholder. Do you know what I mean? This is my drink type thing.
Insects.
Yeah, insects.
Do you think that's
William, what are you doing?
Do you think that's why the egg?
Yes.
No.
Look at that.
I dropped my egg in my Malort.
Somehow the egg made the Malort worse and the Malort made the egg worse.
Both, my mum was here.
That was fantastic.
That, she would have walked in.
Ah, that is fantastic.
Tom, there's an egg in my Malort. I might have invented something here.
My mum, I think I get my slight trepidation with eggs from my mum, but my mum cannot be around people eating eggs. I was at LAX months ago and a couple sat down at the gate that I was flying from as well, and they opened up a little Tupperware box and started eating boiled eggs, and they cleared out the gate.
Really?
The gate just stood up and walked off, and they did not give a rat's ass at all.
I like a boiled egg.
Yeah. I never heard such
I don't know how much you know about us.
I'm a bit weird.
He won't eat eggs that someone else has cooked.
Any eggs? Any style of eggs?
Generally not.
That anyone else has cooked?
Maybe my parents or people that I love have eaten Billy's eggs before, but I have to trust them. You know what I mean?
So if you're at a diner, you'll have to go behind the counter and go ahead and pick up a quick shift. Cook yourself an omelet.
Hey, I'll continue on, Billy, about Jepson's Malort for a second. Jepson's Malort is Chicago's version of Bresque Branvin.
Is that, wait a minute, that sounds Swedish, Dom.
Hang on, it's a Swedish-style schnapps distilled myself. With the flavour of wormwood, which is not good. The word itself is actually just Swedish word for wormwood.
Besk, that's right, wormwood.
Besk brännvin. The drink was first used as a medicine in the Middle Ages. Much later, Malort made its way to Chicago by way of one particular Swedish immigrant, Carl Jepsen. Are we going to try this Malort?
Well, mine has got an egg in it, Dom.
Oh, God.
I'm going to still drink it.
So now you're going to have an eggy Malort.
Yeah.
William, you're a disgrace.
The egg will not make it taste worse.
Hey,
it will not taste worse.
No, absolutely. Sure. I think it will enhance it. We definitely need a name for what you just invented. First thing that comes out of your mouth after you do that will be what this invention you called. Ooh.
And then, do you know, 3 or 4 years from now, when we go to bars in Chicago, right. Everybody's drinking these
yes.
guys.
Yes. So we call it a Billy Boyd.
Soon to be named. Yeah. Yes.
Let's all have a Billy Boyd. All right, I'm going to try this. Sean, you've not got a Malort. No, you're just watching.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we were having one. Yeah. No, I would have poured right. one, but...
And I do the old...
Oh, it's just pure alcohol, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's actually not as high in alcohol content as you would think. That's one of the reasons why people like to shoot it, is it's actually a low
thinner.
Alcohol
Very
content
bitter.
Drink.
Mm-hmm. Very bitter. William, give it a go.
Very bitter, and it's going to get more bitter as the aftertaste right. grows. It's one of the few drinks that gets worse with time.
He likes it.
No, I don't think he does.
I do like it.
No, I could tell. I know. You could tell when he likes it, when someone fake likes it too, but you could tell when
I don't like
it.
One out of 20, it'll catch you like that, and next thing you know.
Not for me.
And I like the smell of the egg as I drink it.
I just like to feel the egg.
Do you know what I'm going to call
article.
It?
Yes, here we go.
Sour smelly iceberg.
Sewer smelly iceberg.
Sewer smelly iceberg. Well,
because it's definitely sour. It's a sour taste, and it's smelly.
Sewer smelly.
And it looks like a little iceberg there. Look, that could have sunk the Titanic. Yeah. Look at that there.
Sewer smelly.
But is
sewer
that too
smelly
hard?
Berg. Yeah.
We'll just call it a smelly ice.
Smelly ice.
Smelly ice.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go. Now we got
have
it.
You guys had Campari before?
Or smelly iceberg.
Yeah, of course.
Campari. Oh, I love Campari. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a little bit of the bitterness of a straight Campari in there. I don't enjoy it. It tastes like chemicals.
There's a lot of bitterness of not just alcohols that are in there. Like you said, there's paint thinners, there's ashtrays.
You can't drink that.
Straight up pollution.
Night.
No, it's not. That's not more of a digestif. It's a.
What we'll do at the live show, though, which is fun, is we give everyone in the audience a taste of this, and whoever can describe it best, usually like the PR person from Malort is there, and whoever can describe it best gets a free shirt at every show.
A Malort shirt.
Right, hold on then.
I did a classic Chicago way too, where you do the cheers like you're going to drink it, then you don't drink it and just watch the outsiders drink it and see their pain and then name
it. That's what you did to us,
yeah. Absolutely.
I, on the other hand, placed an egg in it.
So that, yes, you did. And so what I'm trying to say is congratulations. You got yourself a second one.
And let me try it without the egg.
Yeah, try it without the egg. See if you can come up with a second name. But that's not your invention. Your invention is the smelly iceberg.
The smelly iceberg. Please have them on Friday at your club. Sean, hold on.
Smells of egg.
I will mention that, and I'm sure the people from Malort are going to send you guys some more gifts after seeing this.
And the word gifts are in quotes. Okay, here we go.
Don't need any more Malort, but a Malort t-shirt I would rock.
Of course.
I would take Malort. Malort. You know what it's like? It's like drinking perfume, right?
Drinking perfume. Now that's beautiful.
Isn't
right.
it? I mean, because it's quite flowery.
Now, if there's
then there's something like as if they put some poison in it. Yeah. So it's slowly killing you.
After
you've drunk the perfume.
It's poison, but you still know you have like 45 minutes till you have to do the anecdote. You know? I got time. I'm not to rush to the hospital, but we should get there. We should pencil it in.
It's strong.
Now, Dom, if there's an egg on the shirt, do you have to make that shirt in order to be able to wear it? How far does this egg? I'm really fascinated by
I'm okay with
making your own eggs.
Making me a t-shirt with an egg on it.
All right.
It's just it's when eggs themselves are being made by people. I have to kind of know the process. Maybe if I watch them in the kitchen, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I would have to see if there was... Hold on.
Oh, eggy malort burp.
Oh, God, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're getting cocky with it. Yeah.
It's
sure.
in your eyes after a while.
It's not done. That's the thing with malort. It's not done with you just because you're done with it.
I would describe
that's what it is. Yeah. You live with it for a long time.
Also, I would describe a kind of a fetid stench in the air now in this room of egg and malort belches. Yeah.
That's why you got to come in studio.
I don't know if I'd want to get drunk on it.
No.
Because I think like the next day you'd be living with it.
Well, that's the thing with it. That's why it's so painful. You do it to get it out of the way and then you can just put it aside. Okay, it's done with. You check it off the list.
It's rough.
Now let's get into the straight 18, you know, whiskey and Cokes.
So, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm still not done with the egg thing in you because I'm like CJ. It's kind of weird.
This is crazy. I love it.
Like, I couldn't think of something that is more hygienic than somebody boiling you an egg because it's got a cover on it. No one's touched that.
Yeah.
No one in the world has touched the inside of that egg.
Yeah, no.
So when you peel it, you are the first person to ever have. In fact, remember this, Sean, when you order a smelly iceberg, the person places the egg in themselves. Don't have the barman do it.
No, yeah.
You get it with the shell on and then...
deshell it.
You deshell it. The shell goes into a bucket next to the bar and that is used for the nearby farms because it will help the soil.
Love it, calcium.
So why would that bother you?
The nearby Chicago bar farms.
I don't necessarily think there's any logic associated with it.
None.
I think I've ingested my mother's fear of eggs. And I don't think there's a huge amount of logic with my mum's fear of eggs either. But there's I'll continue on, William, with this little blurb for a second because it's an interesting thing here. It says a handy map shows all the bars and stores that sell malort, which is heavily tilted towards Chicago. You'll find places around the country like Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and one bar in Copenhagen. But Chicago is the world capital of malort consumption. But that's only true because several generations of Chicagoans passed it down. We're a city of immense pride, so we embrace traditions, even when they taste terrible. Indeed, one of Chicago's neighborhood bars, Scofflaw, has malort on tap.
Oof.
Rumor has it their malort cocktail is actually enjoyable. Color me skeptical, says Johnny Clues.
Yeah, so, Jesus.
Wow. Have you guys actually got drunk on malort, or have you just had it as a shot and then jumped on
something else? Usually very drunk when you have malort too. It's not a starting off thing, but I would like to see that on tap. That's fascinating. I would imagine you pour it out, it would go back up inside the tap sometimes. Like it would get scared and terrified. And
we have a
head back.
We have a friend. Remember Sam Meckling? I don't know if you remember the invention Sam Meckling made, but you know how like they have chilled Jaeger?
Those
bars that chill Jaeger.
Yeah.
He did like an anti thing for that where it had malort, but it heated it up to 105, which he said was the internal temperature of a wolf. And then he worked at a bar where he would serve hot malort.
Oh my.
It was disgusting.
That's crazy. Yeah,
that's what kind of started the slogan thing itself, right? When Sam would write all these awful slogans for it and they sent him a cease and desist. And they're like, no, I'm a fan. I'm actually enjoying this. That's why this is a descriptive. And then what? Like they wind up hiring him as a PR man. Like, all right, tell them everyone it's like driving with a top down in Gary, Indiana. You know, what it was. And then they use it as their ad campaign.
So, that's what it says here. Yeah. It says Chicago and malort will always be intertwined, but it's still really a cult drink. Jepson's doesn't have the budget for print advertising, but cult followers have created their own slogans and commercials. So people are making their own commercials for this thing.
Yes.
I mean, that's brilliant, man. I love that.
It's like Marmite. You know. We have a very polarizing spread in England. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it called Marmite, M-A-R-M-I-T-E, in Britain, I should say. It is the end of the beer making industry collects a whole bunch of spent or dead, probably, yeast. And it's like a dark brown, almost black sludge, which at some point, someone must have dipped their finger in and tasted. And it's extremely salty, very umami taste.
Right.
They now sell it as Marmite. But the advertising campaign for Marmite is, you either love it or hate it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
You love it too.
I love it,
I thought that was our pudding you were describing, right?
No, it's just a savory spread. But there are a lot of people out there that can't be around it. If you open up a jar in a kitchen, they're like, oh, Marmite.
All right.
So it's similar. Woo!
Now, we normally give things scores, which you can be part of this if you want.
Sure.
And score it. What we give it scores on its taste.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it looks like, its aesthetic, and how useful is it in the house if you've got it and you know you're making something or you're doing something. So as a taste, Dom.
Oh, it's gonna be a tough one, this guys. Yeah. I mean, I do not like the taste at all. I would rather never taste that again if I could. Hang on, I'll taste it one more time.
That's quite low.
Yeah, I think they would accept a low number on taste, and they would take pride in it, actually.
I don't want to upset the people from the law.
They lean this, into it, as they say.
Okay, great. Well, I'm saying this based on a complete ignorance of the beverage itself. But to me, it tastes dangerous. It does. It tastes like I've accidentally drank a chemical that's ignorant, to strip walls.
Yeah,
that's also a great slogan. Ignorant to beverage itself.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just flat out dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, it tastes dangerous.
Absolutely.
Give it a score, Dom. Out of 10.
I'll be generous and give it a 0.5. That's generous.
That is maybe the lowest score
for
anything's
taste.
Ever
yeah,
got.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Not. It's just, and this is from 1 to
10.
Okay.
And you can do decimal points, which I'll just 0.5, show you right now, CJ, because...
which is actually below a 1.
It's below a 1. And I think the actual taste when you put it in your mouth is all right. It's a perfumey, very alcoholic taste, but it's all right. But it leaves a thing from the middle of your tongue backwards.
Yeah, like I said, this whole rankings, I'd say it's incomplete because it's not done with you yet.
No.
There's still another 40 minutes for this thing
really?
To marinate. And
it messes with you, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, but for taste alone, because of that little perfume at the front there, I'll give it but then it destroys itself. Mm. I'll give it a 3.2.
It's a self-destructing, but like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, yeah,
like
it's like
it explodes within itself.
Did
inside
you enjoy
of you.
That?
Yeah. Well, it's a Trojan horse.
Yeah, I've painted your tongue now with shit. So
right.
Just enjoy that for 45 minutes.
That's a good score to me.
Do you want to give it a score, CJ?
For taste?
Yeah.
Taste, I think it's I'll go with 5 because you can go it's a full on one way or full on the other way.
Yeah,
so it's meeting the middle, and then whatever side you fall on, my lord will be there for you.
Oh, that's lovely.
Sean, can you remember it enough to give her a score?
I can. You know, I think this is so much not about the taste or my lord tradition. I'm gonna go below Dom, and I'm gonna give it a 0.
Wow.
I think it's actual 0.
A 0 for taste. That is amazing.
I don't disagree with too many scores. I have to disagree with that. I'd rather go with the 0.5 because there is a taste to it. You can't say it doesn't have a taste.
I mean,
unless you have COVID right now.
Well,
I think
if it didn't have a taste, that would be a higher score.
Right.
It's a bad taste.
Fair enough.
It's an actively negative taste.
See, I'd rather you go negative than 0.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Can we go negative?
Yeah, you can. We have looked at the rule book and it is allowed.
I was going to say,
although
it seemed
never been done.
I'm going to go -3 then. I'm going to go -3.
Mm. All right, there we go.
Now, aesthetics, I think it jumps up because I'm actually quite charmed by the bottle.
Yeah.
I think the bottle's quite traditional, looks old.
It's got the Chicago flag on it.
Kind of slightly piratey vibes.
Great bottle.
Yeah, great bottle.
The name on it, too.
I bet the T-shirts are good. Are the T-shirts just the bottle? Kind of emblem.
You can get they have a lot of they get creative for sure. But yeah, we'll get you a more bottle T-shirt.
I'm gonna give it a 7.6 in terms of its aesthetic. I mean, the drink itself is colorless, but the bottle is quite cool. William,
I agree. It's got little things.
Great description there. It's got little things.
And you're right. It's not color. It is colorless, but it's trying to be a brown liquor.
Is it?
But it's just not brown enough.
Oh, is it trying to?
I
can't see anything
looks
in this
like
glass.
It. I think it's your green glass.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's not amazing, but a 4.5.
All right.
Okay.
And you got an airplane bottle, and that should be the only liquor allowed on flights, actually. Control the passengers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
That's brilliant. Can I have a gin and tonic?
Right.
No.
Just my law. You know the rules.
You could have this and sit down, though.
Yeah, what scotch do you have? No.
Take your medicine.
You can have them a lot. You can have it with a boiled egg or not. It's up to yourself.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Have yourself a smelly iceberg and we'll wake you in St. Louis.
Jesus. All right, CJ, aesthetics. What do you think?
Aesthetic, solid six for the aesthetic. I think you're right. Nice traditional look to the bottle. But it's lying to you. That's why I can't give it too high of a score. Uh-huh. The aesthetic is, it's a nice traditional label. And so it deceives you. Like, oh, that looks like a drink like I've had before, you know? And it's not. It's not at all.
Yeah. All right. Sean, any thoughts on the aesthetic?
I think it's great aesthetics. I'm going to go 9.
Loving
the wow.
I love that it's like yellow and red and black, almost like rat poisoning or like a warning. You know, if you go into any bar in Chicago, like that bottle jumps out so much that you never have to ask if, no matter how many bottles they have behind, you can tell within 3 seconds if they serve Malort because that bottle just pops out due to its coloring. Yeah.
Great design.
So I'm going to say a 9.
Wow. Brilliant. It's up there.
I like it.
How useful is it? Can you add it to, like, would, if you, do you think we're going to see it in chef programs, you know, like, Kitchen Nightmare and somebody's made like a beef thing and they do a flambé with Malort.
Yeah, it's definitely great for destruction. I mean, it doesn't have to be just for creating cuisines or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's real useful as an ingredient.
Okay, but right.
It's very useful as a bonding experience in Chicago. Yeah, like a lot of people, like that's like your first official Chicago memory was like you move to the city and there's two things that happen to make you a Chicagoan. You get your car towed and you do a shot of Malort, you know? And so I think, like, I consider it like a 10 on usefulness because I think it's like part of this like tribal, you join our group type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's bringing together a society of people, that's extremely useful. You wouldn't put it, I don't think you'd do like a Malort and tonic or a Malort and soda. Is that what people might do?
No, it's just
a shot.
Yeah, I think you just have to do the
it's
Malort
almost always just a shot.
There must be, I bet there's someone listening who's like,
sealant,
what's
maybe.
Everybody talking about? I love Malort.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's people who love it. And then you don't know, do you really? Or if they're just really playing that character just to be arbitrary, you know? But then
nobody
goes
in and says, I'll have 3 ice cubes and a nice tonic water and a Malort. I mean,
then sometimes you hear people like that and then you find out other detail. Like I heard one guy like that and then like I he keeps excusing himself and then I realize like this guy smokes like 5,000 cigarettes a day. So this is probably the only thing he can taste, you know?
Yeah. Right.
That can cut through even tar. It'll cut through an inch of tar on your tongue. Yeah. It's still on my tongue.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of lingering taste, right? And I don't think you're adding this to cakes or pies.
No, it's more for your decks, like the seal, like kind of waterproof things or something like that. You know, it's more of an outdoor
paint stripping.
Exactly.
Sean, I absolutely love that thing that you said that it is useful because it can bring together maybe people on their first freshers week at university, people coming together as a bonding experience. That makes it very useful. I'm going to pump up the scores in terms of that. So I'm going to give it a 5.2.
I agree. I think things like that in a city are really important. When people come to Glasgow, as always, you know, it's fish and chips and Iron Brew and Tennent's Lager and a good whiskey. There's good with things that you relate. So I'm going to give it a high one because of that.
Nice.
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Wow. Cool. That's great.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
What about yourself, CJ? Is it useful?
Oh, as usefulness, I'll say 9.9 because it's something that no one agrees on and that's something we still need in society.
Love that.
Creative disagreement, especially at a bar, you know.
Love that.
A good old-fashioned discussion that can't be settled by Google or something. Yeah. Some, you know, this whole back and forth and pain and different opinions. And
brilliant.
Pain and joy and tears and eggs and, you know, it all comes into it.
Yeah. Pain and joy, and tears and eggs.
I got a spit take in Chicago.
Red Hot Chili Peppers next album. Sean, did you give it a score? I know you said it was useful, but I don't think you gave it a score.
I'm going to go 10. I'm going to go 10.
Wow.
It's high scores for this.
A -3 to a 10.
Right. All big range. Big range. A lot of record setting. That's what I'm saying about this, my lord. It creates so many different opinions on things, you know?
Well, I wonder if my dad would like it because my dad enjoys every so often a Campari and soda and there's a little bit of that bitter astringentness.
You should get him a little bowl. I'll tell you what your mum wouldn't like. smelly iceberg.
No, she would hate it. She would hate a smelly iceberg.
She'd probably slap my dad directly in the face.
Yeah. So don't make that. All right. Good. Well, that was a smashing one. I like that.
Yeah,
I like
that absolutely. Too. That was great.
You know, on Billy and Dom Eat the World, we've said this to people since we started doing it. It doesn't always have to be something objectively great, like a, you know, apple pie or, you know, something mm-hmm. super yummy. We just want interesting stuff. And that was certainly one of the more interesting things that we drank.
It certainly was not delicious by any means. No.
But a fascinating beverage because people will drink that. Yeah. Like tonight in Chicago, people are getting that down, right?
They will, absolutely will. Wow. Yeah. Sure.
Just made me feel kind of weird.
Okay. Well, should we talk about that?
Yeah, remember there was a time when you that's what I'm saying. Remember there was a time when you liked it way back earlier in the show. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it came out of the eyes, and now it's like now it's kind of down by the knees. It gets it's
in a weird place
right,
now.
Yeah, it's.
Will it pass through? Do you think, CJ?
It passes through, kind of. Respiratory, kind of like, like kind of COVID-ish, kind of like through, like not actually inside and outside the system, but just kind of osmosis. It'll pass.
I'm looking forward to when it's not in me anymore.
Right, you've had a rough go of things recently because I think
I had a bad oyster.
Physically, it'll be out of you, but spiritually, it'll always be a part of you.
Oh, what would be part of me?
Yeah, of course.
Well, before we let you guys go, tell us a little bit more about your podcast and what would bring people to. Listening to your podcast and also where anyone can check you guys out on a weekly basis. Anyone?
Sure, absolutely. Well, the Blackout Diaries podcast, which comes out every Tuesday, our third episode. Like we said, it's a lot of great stories that have come from a live show from normal people and stand-up comics. Hilarious drunken stories. They not always have to be drunken, but it helps. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we did a search party episode the other day where a guy got so drunk he was missing. There was a search party for him and then he woke up and joined his own search party looking for himself.
Did he find himself?
They found himself at the bar lately. Then he passed out again. It was a cycle that kept going on.
Oh, wow.
But you know.
What a time.
That's brilliant.
Right, things of that nature. So.
Well, check that out, the Blackout Diaries, wherever you get your podcasts. And then...
That sounds fun. I'm glad.
Sean, you do a weekly live show of the Blackout Diaries. And does that become the podcast?
Yeah, every Friday at a place called the Lincoln Lodge at 10 p.m., and come by, check that out. We are sponsored by Malort. So if you saw this podcast and you're intrigued by Malort but haven't tried it yet, come to the Blackout Diaries and try it out.
Brilliant.
What's it called? The Lincoln what?
The Lincoln Lodge. It's a comedy theater on the north side of Chicago.
Ah. Longest running independent comedy show in America, ran by Englishman Mark Geary, actually.
Well, what a shame, because Billy and I were recently in Chicago, and if we'd have known about it, we could have taken a little journey over to the Lincoln Lodge.
And Lincoln Lodge is the only place in the world where you can get a smelly iceberg.
Yes, that is
so
true.
Enjoy it.
That is
100%
true, absolutely.
Gentlemen, it's been fantastic having you on. Thanks a lot for recommending the Malort. And we look forward to hearing the Blackout Diary. What a great idea for a podcast.
Thank you, Don Billy.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
That was fantastic. That was probably, I think, the toughest thing that I've certainly done on Billy and Dom Eat the World so far.
Drinking that, it was still with me.
Well, like you said, that it's the taste mixed with the after kind of feelings. I barely had any, and I can feel it in my solar plexus.
I had a lot, and mine had an egg in it.
What are you doing?
Well, I didn't mean the egg to go in. What I did, you told the story about the tapas and you put it on a plate.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, maybe if you put an egg on it, it would be the same. But the egg can change shape like a rat going down a drain pipe.
Mm.
And it went
slipped through your fingers.
It slipped them.
Yeah, and then it became very slippy.
Slipped them. And then I drank it and I wish it.
Oh, an eggy drink.
Yeah, it's sitting with me. It's sitting, Dom.
It was lovely to have CJ and Sean on. That sounds like a great show.
Yeah, that would be great.
We've all had nights out, even if you've not been drinking, where you kind of think, woo, that was an adventurous night out. We've all been there. And like CJ said to us after we finished the podcast, there's no shame associated with that show. I think more than anything else, what they're trying to say is, we've all been there.
We've all got stories. We've all had to shit off the side of a canoe at some point.
Yeah, we've all been there. It's fine. So check out their show. We've run out of time, but let's tell people a few things about what's going on.
Well, we've got the art thing. What are we calling that again?
Fanart.
Fanart. The Fanart episode where we're going to look at people's art, fan art, Fanart.
Fanart.
And that's going to be sometime around the 5th of September, Labor Day here in America. And if you've made anything that's sort of Lord of the Rings or Billy and Dom or Friendship Onion, please send it our way and we'll open it up on that episode. That'd be great.
We'll open it up on the show and hopefully we'll find places on the wall where we can put it and it will live permanently on the Friendship Onion wall. You can also rate, review and subscribe to our podcast. If you subscribe to the podcast but you've not rated or reviewed it, give us a little 5-star rating. Give us a little one sentence review. It super helps us continue to make this show. You can leave questions, comments, and concerns at The Friendship Onion at YouTube, and you can watch us there. And you can also leave a voicemail at
speakpipe.com/The Friendship Onion. Or you can send us emails to TheFriendshipOnion@castmedia.com. You can also get our merchandise, merch, they call it, at TheFriendshipOnionPodcast.com.
Yes, and if you'd like to send in suggestions for things for Billy and I to eat or drink on Billy and Dom Meet the World, remember, it doesn't need to be amazingly pleasant food. It can be just interesting food. See if you can find something that we can actually find in the United States. Unfortunately, people have given us great suggestions from around the world, but it's stuff that you can't get into the United States. So hopefully something that we can find here in California. And we will see you guys next week
on The Friendship Onion.
Toodles!
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.